Let's talk about Kabbalah. Let's go up to.
So we spoke last week about this idea of, I think we timed this with the vacuum cleaner every week. So we spoke about this idea. It's unbelievable, right? We could go to the classroom. Oh, we're here now. We spoke about this idea of thinking big, thinking small, right? But not doing it in a way that's fake. That's what we were fighting against last week, right? If you want to make a change, you have to change yourself. You have to ask for everything. You have to be willing to jump to Hashem in a way that's not like, I want to just do something small this year.
No? That may technically be correct, but it is not what we were focused on.
I don't think that's right.
The focus was that if you start with the typical mindset of pick a Kabbalah, pick something small that you want to do and do that, and use that as a way to try to get through, there's a danger with it, right? Because it's true about the civic and the beginning small, but it's also the danger is it ends up basically like postling up everything else that you do. So even if you stick with your Kabbalah and you're focused on it, you're benching from a bench, or that's great, but now suddenly your davening 3 times a day is not necessarily as important to you. You're not really doing your job with the things you're already doing. And on top of that, there's the danger of if that flops and you don't stick with your Kabbalah, then you're completely mismatched, because basically now I'm nobody. All the things that you're doing already, you're not improving those.
Because your mind is not exponentially bigger than it was before.
It's funny, you're saying literally the same thing.
Josh, please don't say that.
You're literally saying the same thing. That's what we spoke about.
Okay.
You have to focus on that's the key piece here, is the mentality. We have to shift our mentality and grow in our Avodas Hashem exponentially. It's not an incremental growth. I didn't add a bencher. I didn't add my tefillah. The adding of my tefillah has to be an outgrowth of my exponential leap in Avodas Hashem, that now I go back into my tefillah and I'm a different human being. You brought this up about how you use the regular thing as a metric. So we have to shift ourselves during this period of time, but not shift ourselves to a level like, oh, okay, now I'm changing. I'm going to go out and I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. No. But the shift of self will now go back into my normal day and make it totally different. Okay. So, but we have to do it also in an authentic way, because you can really get lost during this period of time of like pretending you're more than you are and be like, you know what I'm saying, like Einol Movado by Ne'ila, and like second bagel in, you're back to who you are. You know what I'm saying? Like, so you really, when you talk about change, the change has to be legitimate and almost irreversible. It can't be that we're really not changing. We're just doing what we think Hashem wants us to do, because if we do what Hashem wants us to do, He's going to hook us up with what we want. It's the same game that we play every single year.
But how does that fit in with the Kabbalah?
Because what does a Kabbalah mean then? If you're driven by the Kabbalah, then you're really in the same mindset. You're just adding tchotchkeluch along the way. If you're really shifting your mindset, then the natural outgrowth of that will probably be Kabbalahs. And I think that's what Rav Meilech was talking about.
But he
was
saying, and we have to make a distinction. There's a Kabbalah of a Maisa, and there's a Kabbalah like a Metzadik. Those are two different Kabbalahs.
Yeah, that's the B. Very good. Right.
I think that's Rav Meilech was saying a Kabbalah to not do something, but to be something.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I was saying.
Rav Meilech was saying, take the ball, don't even do it, you're still okay.
Yeah. Right? Rav Meilech's video was like down the Chassidish fairway. It was like really, it tapped into my Chassidish a little part of me. That was like beautiful. It was positive. It was just do a little bit and Hashem loves you a lot. Like, the Sephardi in me is like, come on. But the Chassid in me is like, hip-hip-hooray. We have to sort of figure that out, because you don't want to get to a place where that, you're not going to change if the Kabbalah is coming from your own perspective. So we have to figure out in the next 3 weeks how to shift our perspective.
No, it's got to be today, because you need time to work out.
Yeah, we got to figure out today how to literally shift the course of your perspective, so when you get to Yom Kippur, we're not fakers.
It's Rosh Hashanah.
It's Rosh Hashanah, you're not better. Because that's the biggest danger, I think. I think the biggest danger is being a faker.
Right. Okay, so Yeshua, go.
Okay, go. That was it. We set it up.
Yeah. Okay. It's like,
Rosh Hashanah, we said before, is a time for big things. Rosh Hashanah is the Rosh. The whole Shana is Nimshach Achar HaRosh. And there's going to be satellite Rosh Hashanahs along the way, which is what a Rosh Chodesh is. Rosh Chodesh is just like satellite Rosh Hashanahs along the path of life, which kind of takes us back to the original Rosh Hashanah, where we can straighten ourselves out, make an accounting of how the Rosh Hashanah was. Every Rosh Chodesh is a stop along this derech of life to see where we're holding in that Rosh Hashanah. But because Rosh Hashanah is the Rosh of the Shana, it's supposed to be a day which we take with ourselves every single day of the year. What Rosh Hashanah means. Now, Rosh Hashanah is a time to change. And again, I don't like the word change, because change is a very fear-invoking word, and it makes us almost like dissatisfied with who we are. It's a day of evolving, attaching ourselves to our truer selves, to eat from the Eitz HaChaim and not to make the mistake like we did the first time, to eat from the Eitz HaDaas Tavira. And really, if we have the time with Hashem to talk about that, whether it's going to be today or next week, we can learn from what took place in Rosh Hashanah, what the Nisayon of the original Rosh Hashanah was, to know what the Avodah is of Rosh Hashanah. Every single Rosh Hashanah, there's a recreation of man. That's why there's a Tekiyah Shofar, and Vayipach Ba'apach Nishmas Chaim. We are that Adam, we're in the Gan. We're staring at two Eitzim. To the left is the Eitz HaDaas Tavira, to the right is the Eitz HaChaim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us to B'chaim to B'chaim. That's what we're going to be reading in these parashas. We get caught up, unfortunately, and again, before we move on to the next part, that's what Rosh Hashanah is. Rosh Hashanah is a day of U'bachar to B'chaim. Because we are people who have many layers, and we exist on many layers, in Asiya, in Yetzira, in Bria, in Atzilus, which corresponds to the Neshama, to the Machshava, to the Dibur, and to the Maisa. And the more Chitzoni we are, we fall into the trap of change means making Lemaisa dick changes. That's very Chitzoni's way of operating. Because if there's nothing substantiating this quote-unquote change, which we're going to be doing in the world of Maisa, then how long is it going to take till that quote-unquote change in Maisa, which we thought was such a big deal, which was my Rosh Hashanah, that it falls away? How long does that take? It has to be anchored in something. If the Maisa isn't anchored in a Dibur, and the Dibur isn't anchored in a Machshava, and the Machshava isn't anchored into something even more Ruchni than that, then it's like putting up a picture on the wall with a piece of scotch tape. How long is that going to last for? You beautified the house. You did something nice. You put up a nice painting for the Rabbanu Shel Olam on scotch tape. Is that a person says, I'm going to make big changes in the house this year. So he's going to put up a painting. That's going to be the big changes. But Jeroch was asking us to like clean up shop. If Adam was created in Rosh Hashanah, that means that what Rosh Hashanah is mechayev us is that Nasa Adam. There should be a Nasa Adam. That the Adam which was this past year should be a different Adam for the coming year. That's what Rosh Hashanah said. That's what Chazal say. By the Korbanos of Rosh Hashanah, it says a different Lashon than it says by all the other Yom Tovim. By the Korbanos, it's V'kraftem. By Rosh Hashanah, Chazal say, it says V'asisem. So Chazal say, V'asisem means make yourself in Rosh Hashanah. Don't bring me a Korban and to say, I'm bringing a Korban and that's going to appease the Rosh Hashanah. Hashem says, no, on Rosh Hashanah, V'asisem. Make yourself new. Rosh Baruch Hu is telling us is that He doesn't want chitzonius things. Don't bring a korban from Behema and say, that's going to be good enough. Don't appease me with chitzonius things. Anything other than yourself. I don't want anything other than you. And that's why in Rosh Hashanah, we read the Akedah. The Akedah wasn't like, bring a korban and Behema. Rosh Hashanah was, bring Yitzchak. Bring a human being. I want the mensch on the mizbech. That's what Rosh Hashanah is. That's what the shofar is, a zecher for Akedah is. Don't put anything on the table other than yourself. Mimela, if we come to the table before Rosh Hashanah and the type of quote-unquote change which we're looking to do comes from a place of like a cold chakira dikachesmin, like cold calculation, like I think I can handle this, I don't know if I can handle that, and you come up with a whole methodology and formula as to like what you're going to do for the Baruch Shalom this year. That's going to be your change. From a very cold place, calculated cheshbon tikka place, that's not Rosh Hashanah. Maybe that's okay for Rosh Chodesh. That's not a Rosh Hashanah. The change which we're going to be doing on Rosh Hashanah, we should be zeicha and have the siyata shemaya to do that properly, comes from a place of where a person understands what it means, the shofar and chodesh elul, how much Rosh Hashanah is mechayev of us and nasa adam, what it means of achar to b'chaim, what it means to look at the Yetzer Chaim and to say, this is what I want to eat from the pears this year, not from the Yetzer Das, I believe. That the change should be something which is like, makes a kinyan on all the internal work which is taking place. Like I should be a keli which concretizes all of that, all the bitzoinis and the cheshik and the hislavis. When a person comes to Rosh Hashanah, he's like, take me. Give me direction. That's where that maisa has to come from. If it's going to come from a cold place, it's going to be chitzoni. It's already puzzled. It's already not going to last. And it's just not where Rosh Hashanah is mechayev us. Rosh Hashanah can't be an avoida which could have taken place on just a Wednesday in the middle of the year. Every day should be a day of cheshbon and nefesh. Unfortunately, we're substituting every day cheshbon and nefesh as Rosh Hashanah. Because if we don't know what it means to make cheshbon nefesh on a regular basis, which I don't know anything about, mail my Rosh Hashanah it falls into that category. But if I knew what type of a regular cheshbon nefesh every day requires, it would take Rosh Hashanah and make it what it's supposed to be. But unfortunately, we're walking into Rosh Hashanah with a very mundane way of making the cheshbon nefesh, and the expectations which we have of ourselves are not on the same level. What Rosh Hashanah is saying to us, Nas Adam. Or blowing the shofar and it's screaming to us, like, I'm giving you a neshama this year. Out with the old and with the new, and everything that entails. So what does that mean, lemaisa, for us? Is that unless we utilize these days of Elul appropriately leading up to Rosh Hashanah is going to be a cold cheshbon tikka day. The shofar which we're sounding every single day in Elul is shouting to us, like, shout out to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Tzaddikim explained that the reason why the shofar is the avodah in Elul, avodah in Rosh Hashanah, the avodah of shofar is just a shout out to the Ribbono Shel Olam, as if to say, like, save me. I'm drowning, save me. That's really what tshuva is. And that's why on Yom HaKippurim, which is the day of tshuva for the year, we actually read about a man named Yonah who was thrown into the sea and he cried out to the Ribbono Shel Olam, he said, save me. Yom Kippur's last licks, but basically, if we have our eye on Yom Kippur during this entire process, which the Sfaradim do have, by the way, because the Sfaradim have different way of preparing for Yom HaNarayim. Ashkenazim prepare with a shofar, and the Sfaradim prepare with the sichos. I once heard this from the Nav Mitzkur Rebbe Zatzal. He told us this, and it was such a gevaltik chiddush. He says, why do Ashkenazim prepare with the shofar, and the Sfaradim prepare with the sichos? Because we have our eye on two different ma'amakonis. The Ashkenazim are looking at Elul towards Rosh Hashanah. And since Rosh Hashanah is a day of shofar, we prepare during Elul for Rosh Hashanah. Sfaradim are looking at Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur is a day of slicha. It's a day of slichos. So they prepare by using slichos. Now, Elu ve'elu devar lekim chayim, and they're really both saying the same thing. But the idea is that we have to have our eye on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a day of tshuva, which Yom Kippur is a day of where we turn to Rosh Hashanah and we say, Rosh Hashanah, I have nothing. I'm Hashem, nothing. How am I supposed to do tshuva? I need you to be makabel. I don't even know where to begin. It's just a shout to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's Rosh Hashanah is also. Rosh Hashanah is it's just a shout using the shofar to the Ribbono Shel Olam and saying, I Pasha don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I fail every single year. And Pasha don't know what to do. Unless we're going in with that type of a framework that we're actually taking into account how we failed every single year and we come back to the same place and we think we're going to do it right this year. There's that mentality of Rosh Hashanah, and then there's the mentality of, I literally don't know what to do. I fail every single time. I don't think I'll ever get this right. Will you please lead me in the right way to do tshuva this year? Now, on one hand, it's very daunting because we feel like it's like a cop out, and it feels like we're not doing that. That's an avoda to turn to Rosh Hashanah and say we mess up all the time. Can you help me? I was just in a conversation with somebody earlier today where we were talking about how to prepare for a certain inyan. And this person was saying to me, you know, you have to really to put on your gloves and to work hard and to get dirty and to, you know, put everything God into it. And I said to that person, I said, that's not so much my avodah, that's not really my mahalach. My mahalach is really just to say it to Baruch Shem, like, I fail all the time. So I'd rather that give it to you and to be mispahal that it should have atzlacha and let you guide me, let you take over. So the counter argument was, you're not doing anything. So which I responded, I was like, no, I did a lot. I had many years of failing. So I learned that the best way to be active is to give it to the Baruch Shem. It's not easy to do that because it requires a lot of bittul, requires a lot of I can't do this on my own. So it takes a lot of work. There's a lot of
easy to fool yourself.
I think I'm both.
It's all you. I'm gonna sit in the couch and watch Netflix, but it's all you. Right?
So well, if that's what you're doing, then it's made, and what you're doing, what you did is like is right. not really good, because you still have to work. You still have to work hard. But
right, the dude testifies on the beat.
Right.
Yeah, but even if you stand before the Kodesh Baruch Hu and you say, you know, I'm nothing, take me, or you have to believe it and not just say it because you need to get out of it, right? That's really what's...
That's why it's so hard,
because to really get there... Also, it's easy to get... I mean, maybe that's okay. Maybe what you're saying is it's okay to get swept up in it.
What do you mean?
In the world of be do have, right? The be always leads. And once you have a be, now you're working on the do.
If the bee is real.
So let's take our world, right? A guy wants to have a good life. It's inculcated since he's a kid. He can't even control it. The whole, like, mess with Hashem, Hashem messes with you thing is just how he was raised. Okay? Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is all about that. So he knows he's got to step up. So now he hears a shir saying, Hashem, just take me. Ah, that's what I got to do. I thought I had to, like, just clap al chayt. Now I could just, this is so much better. This avoda. So he does it for the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he believes it. He's not lying. He's just faking himself. He really goes, I'm mamlech, myself, and my children, atzav kol deris, to the melech machi, amlochim, hamelech hakadosh. And he believes it. And then it's in Sukkos. And he's like, you know what? Just give me that fifth dessert. We should go to that park. And by the time you get to November, like, do we have Yom Kippur this year? He wasn't lying at any point. But along the way, something in his avodah broke. Because he didn't do something that would allow him to stand before the Kodesh Baruch Hu and actually mean it.
That's because his tachlis is completely off.
But he doesn't know it.
Right. That's your problem is, right? You're saying, how do you know our tachlis?
I'm trying to get into it. I'm trying to hit this yisod. Like you said, we should be zeichet to be people that are mevakshim and mirtz Hashem. I don't think people are saying, well, should I do mitzvah? Should I show up to Yom Kippur? Should I, Let's assume we're showing up. And we're showing up strong with Hashem's help. In the showing up, you can fake it. And you don't even know you're faking it. So either you're saying, don't fake it, just be real and recognize that you don't have it. And come to Kodesh Baruch Hu really with nothing. And that's the avodah. Or you're saying, even if you're faking it, do everything you can, because on Rosh Hashanah, they're molding you. This is the process. So even if you're not really meaning it, but this is what you got to do. You got to stand before the Kodesh Baruch Hu and mevatel yourself, because what takes place on Rosh Hashanah is in the world of Ruchnius, the mold for the year is being set. So, okay, you're not this person. You haven't been Mamlech Hashem at the level that you want. You may not really be this person on Yom Rosh Hashanah, but step up and be this person, even if it is a little fake or eye. Because on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Kodesh Baruch looks down and sees that you're trying, and if he sees that you're trying, the world is going to recreate itself in a way that includes you at a higher level.
You're confusing me, because in the same mashal, the guy didn't know he was faking, but now he knows he's faking?
Meaning he sort of gets the sense that he's saying it, but he knows where he's going, he knows what's up. He knows this is his avodah.
It's like the halacha that during Teres Metshuva you should eat Pasis Rol, even though you're not going to do it the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm. That would be a good riot to that mentality, right? You're not going to eat Pasis all year, but you know what? Kodesh Baruch Hu's here, Melech Pasada. Show respect. Step up. And if you go back to your life in November, we'll deal with it in November, but that's November. Right? The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says the Kodesh Baruch Hu's going to allocate water for your city. It's not going to allocate water in November. If you wake up in November, sorry, like, you know, we can work it out, but the Eibishter is giving out his whole year. So either it doesn't matter who you are, this is what you, or it's, you got to really spend the time to get to a level that when you stand before the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're really there. At whatever level it is today, clearly we're not going to get there at the level that someone who has been working on this for 20 years is going to, right? We're not going to get to a level of a tzaddik because you put, but if the avoda is bittul, working on it, and his boydidus, and his all this, what's my life, and really spending 2-3 weeks at a level of, this is b'charta b'chayim, then you get to level Rosh Hashanah, you stand up and go, oh my gosh, I've been thinking about it for mamish 3 weeks. And it means something. And if it means something, what you're saying is, don't take that feeling and turn it into like, I'm going to learn Shas, and then I'm going to say, Mishra Benchit. Don't, no. Just turn the feeling and go to, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Right.
I'm throwing myself to you. That's a chit, right? Otherwise, you get to Hashem, you're like, I got it. I've heard this growing up. I've heard like, come to Kadosh Baruch with a plan. I heard that more than one time. Come with a plan. Show them. My seders are growing. Do you see the distinction what I'm getting at?
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah, but again, the real question is, okay, so how do you actually, as one of my partners likes to say, operationalize that, right? So good, so you, okay, I know what the mindset's supposed to be.
That's how you operationalize it.
But I can't, I think it, as human beings, it's not going to work.
I'll give you two plans. In plan A, you have to take an hour a day during Elul, and you have to mamish stop. Think about your life and think about where you are and think about what it means to be Mamlech Hashem and to build inside you a desire. I don't think it goes through just doing regular things.
You know, I don't disagree with you. That's all fine. My point is that I think for the rest of us who are living down here and the two of you who are down here. So,
I know how I ended up in that zone.
You're sitting next to him. There needs to be some amount. There needs to be some amount of just specifics that you can use in terms of whether it's these, but it's the last week we talked about, right? So I'm learning Hilchot Brachos with my guys, and that gets me to do Brachos better, right? Semi Brachos better, right? So it's gotta be something that you can do, you can take part of your day, because it can't be just, I'm gonna think about it, and I'm gonna turn and think about it and make sure it's a focus.
To learn a sefer, we talked about Chuba, let's say, right? You're learning about Brachos and learning about Brachos.
It makes you a bit Brachos.
So you learn us, like a Moser Sefer or like a Chassidish Sefer.
So we wanted to soundbite it or put it on the bumper sticker. It's spend the next 3 weeks, pick a Sefer, whatever it is, it'd be different. Yeah, I know you're saying not to do that. I know, and by the way, that's my point.
I'm saying you shouldn't do that. Rav Ruzin could do that. And I'll tell you why. Okay. Because you're going to learn the Sefer. You're the Sefer. Meaning, we don't spend enough time cheshbening our life and ourselves. We're so busy doing that we're so uncomfortable being. That's why so many people are so undeep. Myself included. Because we're so, what do I got to do? That part of the depth is the time that you spend in thinking about something that's deep.
Yeah, but the problem is that is basically telling complete amateurs, walk a tightrope 50 feet off the ground with no training. Don't worry, you can do this.
No, it's but at least you're walking the tightrope.
Yeah, but you got to get. I think
it's better to take the bar out like they do with the little girls, and they put them. My girls, they went to do that little gymnastics thing. Yeah. It's better they take the bar and it's thick and it's 1 foot off the ground, and they learn how to walk across a bar, than have them do something totally unrelated. That's my opinion. I don't know what you think. That's my opinion.
If you don't put it into something you can. Yeah, not talking about the Kabbalah, but something that you can focus, use to channel the way you're thinking. If you don't have that, it's not gonna last. Maybe it's an hour of Yisbodus, maybe whatever it is. But
that's meaning this is what I got from what Marusha. Tell me,
I'm saying
the end of the day, if you're gonna get to the level, you're gonna stand before the Kadosh Baruch Hu and say, "Take me." That means you got to do something you've never done before. You can't go if you're gonna start learning how to build a building. You got to start learning a new skill. If all we know how to do right now is sit behind the computer, let's say, and someone's like, go build this building, we got to take out a tool and a hammer and be like, how do I use this thing? Because till now, all I've been doing is writing, speaking, and using my email. And now I got to build a building. Like, I need another entirely different part of my body to learn that muscle memory. What I am hearing is we are really good at what Rishua says, cold calculus. We're good at that. We're like, all right, Hashem, here's the deal. Let's rock this out, okay? I'm going to give you this, I'm going to give you that, I'm going to give you this, I'm going to give you that. Because what we do for a living is masa umatan. This is what we do. We're trained to be lawyers. We're trained to say, I'll give you this, you give me this, step up now, the judge is in the room, like, be good, dress up, it's a partner meeting. Like, we're, like, trained to stand before the Kodesh Baruch Hu Hoshana and be like, I'm going to get us the best deal ever. Say the right words, do the right things, be a good boy. Yep. What we're not trained to do is be like, I am coming in front of you with a sackcloth, not a real sackcloth, like, ani afar ve'efer, anachnu ma. I am nothing, I don't know what I'm doing, but let me tell you what I am. If I could just be your servant, it would be the greatest gift in the world. We don't have tools. And if we go to, like, learn a safer, do a thing, another if we go to the cold calculations.
I don't know if I was saying that.
No.
He's not saying that, or you're not saying
that? I don't think I'm saying that. I was saying part of that, but I don't think that was the main thing.
Okay.
I want to clarify. This is a very good point that you said that, because I want to clarify. Charlie's a big Ben Aliyah, so he understood it in like a very Ben Aliyah way.
That's not true. So not at all. He's holding me down from the depths. He needs the mechazik me. That's why he puts me to his left.
I think I was saying, let me tie shit like this. I think that even in the cold, calculated place of a person who's trying to negotiate with the Rebbeinu Shlomo, I think I'm talking to that person and I'm saying, every year you negotiate, you blow the negotiations. Instead of coming with negotiations, we should have a feeling of desperation. Meaning, even that desperation doesn't have to be from a place of total bittul, saying to the king, like, I would just be so happy to be your servant. That's what I mean when I say, like, that's a high expectation of people. I'm not talking to those people only. I think that these remarks are even for a person who is in the world of negotiations, and I'm saying to you, saying, come to the Rebbeinu Shlomo this year like your life really matters. Like of a place of uvachart b'chai, meaning desperation. Like complete and total desperation. Because and I'm trying to make it very, very matter of fact and very grounded by saying to this person, like, every year messes up. Every year it doesn't work out. Like, you don't live up to the standards, or what you provide, what you're putting on the table, is so tiny to begin with. Like, I'm saying to this person, I'm saying, Rosh Hashanah is much bigger than just the small little changes you want to make. Leave that for a different day of the year. We're talking big. We're talking massive. We're talking Nasa Adam. Hashem wants big things from us on Rosh Hashanah. How are you going to provide big things for the Rebbeinu Shlomo? You have a game plan for that? Could you really come up with a game plan which would actually work, that you can actually make it through Rosh Hashanah, substantiate that the whole year, and to come back and to say, I became a real Nasa Adam this year? I'm really capable of doing that. I think that the world, that what the Shofar is telling us during Elul is that there has to be, and I think this is very lemaisadik also, there's like a silent sa'aka inside of a person where he sees Rosh Hashanah the distance, some kibbutz the distance, and he knows that he can't get out of it because the Zman is just leading him there, and there's no way out. Where when a person looks at that in the distance and he's like, oh my gosh, I'm coming to the Rosh Hashanah, where Hashanah says, Vasisa Matan, like, make yourself, Nasa Adam, Shofar, and everything which that entails. I think that if a person is very real and amistic about that, it evokes a lemaisa, which is a tsa'aka to the Baruch Shem, saying, like, I'm drowning. Save me. Save me. You tell me how am I going to get out of this. You show me a lemaisa. You teach me. This is the opposite cold calculated. You teach me the lemaisa for this year in terms of, like, what's going to be. Even if it means benching from a bencher. But if it's a benching from a bencher, which you taught me the Baruch Shem that I should do to substantiate all of these things which I want to do in my life, to come closer to you, to do your rutzim properly, so let it be bench from a bencher. But not from a place of, like, a cold place of, you know, I really think that benching from a bencher this year is going to be a good tshuva. No. You have to give yourself completely over to Baruch Shem. And if, at the end of that avoida, it falls into your head, bench from a bencher, and that's going to substantiate all this Nasa Adam which I want to do for Baruch Hashem. Yes, so be it.
It's like this kind of, like, give yourself over to Hashem. What are you doing?
Let's play it out now.
Right.
If it's his benching from a bencher, amazing. Let's say you come out and the Kodesh Baruch Hu says,
it shouldn't be benching from bench, by the way.
Say you walk out and the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, it pops into your head, I should really get up 2 hours earlier and learn.
That's a very good one.
Wait. The next morning I wake up, and it's now whatever time in the morning. My body goes, are you serious? I should really not go and, you know, people that are watching, I should just shut the whole thing off. If the avoda is a small little beseder, but when the Kodesh Baruch Hu drops a game changer in your head, if a person isn't spending the time really thinking and getting to a level where he is revved, I don't mean to be always bringing in sports, but it's just such a great muscle. There's a reason why you don't go from your car to the field every single practice, because they understand that what you're about to engage in is difficult. So you have to put you in a locker room, and they have to train you, and they have to watch film, then they have to pump you up. Why? These are professional athletes. Okay. Because they're up against a major league opponent. You don't roll out of bed, put on your pads, and play a major league opponent. We're up against a much harder opponent than any football player.
I think you're conflating two different things. I don't think that having big hasagas means necessarily requirement of big actual changes in your life.
Yes, it does. This is exactly what we're talking about.
No, it doesn't.
Now you're not saying the same thing.
No, because you know, it doesn't. Because you know what happens if you do that? You pop your hammy because you're not stretching, you're not pumping, you're not ready.
Let me tell you the difference. And this is what trips everybody up. This is the nakuda.
This is a very important nakuda right now.
The nakuda. The nakuda is like this. This happens all the time. This is the nakuda.
That's a drum roll right now.
A guy comes out of shul. Okay? Everything right. Take me. On the way out, the Eibishter gives him a real avoda. He gets it. I really shouldn't be doing this. I really shouldn't be working here. I really shouldn't be eating this. I really shouldn't go here with my family for the summer. It's real. It's requiring me to tell my parents something. Not mine. I'm saying like, I gotta now tell my friend. All my friends are doing this thing. This happens all the time in Balei Tshuvas and even people that are growing. If I don't go here, all my wife's friends are here. If I don't go here, all my kids are here. If I stop eating that, I always went to this place. I always drank coffee. I can't get up in the morning. The stuff that the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants of you is going to hurt. It's not going to kill you, but it's going to hurt. Now, if he gives you like a little crumb and says, listen, you're benching anyways. Why don't you grab the bencher? You're like, this is right. Life is perfect. This is what he wants of me. That's not how Gavota works. The way he does it is, in my opinion, Vaniyastaiti, you know, he gives you something that's just hard enough, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu knows you perfectly. He finds a thing that's just hard enough so that when you're doing that push-up, that spiritual push-up, it's actually burning. If you're the same guy that you walked in, you're not going to do it long-term. You're not, because you're the same guy. You'll do it Motzei Yom Kippur. You'll do it the first day of Sukkos. You're still the same guy. So you're not going to do the avoda that he wants of you once the rays of Hashem Hu Elokim is in the distance. So it's not a long-term play. You got it. That's exactly what Kodesh Baruch Hu wants from you. But it starts being justified, and I got to go to work in the morning, and Tuesday is very hard, and I'm really tired. And then there are people that trip up in the world of they come in, they leave, and it's not real. But where I think the next level people trip up is here. They walk out. They know what the Kodesh Baruch Hu, they know what's right. It's super hard. They use all their energy to get it done. They go down the road. But here's the problem. They're not doing the B work.
Right. That's what we're talking about, the B work.
And so when they get to the do work, they can't sustain it.
That's what we were saying before. That there's dimensions and the machshava. Right. That's exactly right.
No, 2 years.
You that's can't. Exactly right. Change your B by doing things of do.
That's right.
So you open up a safer. You're not going to change your B by opening up a safer.
That's what we're
saying.
You're
going to change your B
by
sitting. If you need a safer to get going, you change it by sitting in a safer and going one page for hours. I'm not saying I can do this. I'm telling you it's and getting to a level and going, I'm momish and not this guy.
No, just easy. Hold on.
That's 100% right. I'm what's like the therefore that? Therefore what?
Unless we are putting into practice an Elul,
that's
work.
Right, 100%.
When do shows up, Motzei Yom Kippur, we're not going to have any more tap. We can't do the do.
Right.
So here's not do. Here is B. But B has to be something to Josh's point. It can't be. It can't be every Friday at 4. It's real work.
But wouldn't you agree that this tzaka is B work, not do work?
For sure,
100%. That's why it's so important. But that's what I'm saying. That tzaka is a B work. And so therefore Hashem will provide you with a do work. Now, let's say that do work is that it pops into your head, and you should have a Rebbe for these things also, of course. Let's say it pops into your head, I gotta wake up 2 hours before I'm waking up right now. I gotta learn every single day before davening. That's gonna be a huge difference. I should definitely take that on, right? And it could be substantiated if I'm doing the proper B work, right? We shouldn't tell somebody, listen, that's just way too much.
No way.
You should be thinking along the lines of benching.
For sure.
Right? You would say to such a person, no, go. 2 hours, you gotta go with it. Right? Because listen, if you're NFL material, and you know, and this is really important to you, you're gonna create a system, a framework in your life with the proper support team in order to make sure that 2 months down the line, you're still waking up 2 hours before davening because you took that on. That was what you took on. And remember, you're going to take something on which is going to make, it's going to have ripple effect on everything which you do in your life, everything you do during your day. So you can't spread yourself thin also trying to take on 2 hours before getting up and also this and this and that. You're hoping that you're going to taking on something which is going to be an anchor and something very important, which is going to allow everything else in your life to try to basically be elevated because of that decision, which you decided, the high noon in this case, 2 hours before davening every single day.
See, clarify one thing that you're saying. I'm not suggesting, for example, like by learning a sefer, that it's, you can look at doing that in two different ways. There's a B aspect to it and a do aspect to it. You can have the do aspect, where it's like, I'm learning a half hour this safer every day.
Right.
That's a do aspect. Right. There's the B aspect. You say, like, no.
That's what he was
this
saying.
This safer speaks to me,
right.
And I know that if I spend time with it, it's going to impact.
It's a tool for B work.
But, right. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But since you do this for a living, right, we have to be accurate with our language. You're really not learning the safer.
I tend to try to actually be very vague.
but let's be real.
Works pretty well.
But let's be real. You're not learning the safer. You're utilizing the safer to deepen your thinking.
Okay. That's fair enough.
That's good.
It's a springboard. Absolutely.
That's okay.
But I think we're in agreement, but I think that I just want to sum that up. I want to sum that up because that was really the whole beginning was to lay down this yisoid, which is that when we talk about cold, calculated changes, which don't last, that's because if you're working just in the world of maisa, then you're just completely chitzani. Like there has to be deeper change. There has to be deeper thought. There has to be machshava thought. There has to be even deeper than that, which is like the nasa adam, which is like the real ruchnius part of a person. Like, you know, work in that area. If a person who's premius knows, Maisa is the most chitzonious thing in the world. And if it's not substantiated with deeper work than that, then which is where we're operating usually, we can go back and look at how many times we've failed. We're not doing the things which we quote-unquote promised Rosh Hashanah Kippur, which we would do. We didn't get anywhere with that. Ad Rabba, it falls away, and we're more disappointed with ourselves, and we usually fall farther away than what we hope that we would gain. We lose territory. That's not the way. It's very chitzonious, and it just doesn't work. Now, what does Ben Eliyahu do? What does he do? He realizes right away the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is not a day to start to think about like how what's going to be in Rosh Hashanah. Elul is supposed to be 30-day preparation before Rosh Hashanah. So when you come up, you step up to the place of Rosh Hashanah, you have a whole Elul's work, which is like behind you, so that Rosh Hashanah can now be where Rosh Hashanah is supposed to be. Which again, we can talk about, which is what Uvachar Tabachayim means. What it means Ifnei Tzachayim, stay with Ifnei Tzavaraz in your life. These types of work, which is what Rosh Hashanah is telling us. Akedah Sietzlok is telling us huge things. Hashem is telling us huge things with the Shofar and with the whole Avodah of Rosh Hashanah. But Elul and the fact that we bring in the Sichas and we're bringing in the Shofar, and it doesn't have a message of its own. It's all connected to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. That means that the whole Mitzias and the whole identity of Elul was Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It's telling us that don't show up here Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur without Elul. It doesn't work that way. It's all part of a flow. It's all part of a Seder that if you can live up to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is asking of you, you had to have had an Elul before that. Otherwise, your Rosh Hashanah is going to be cold, calculated, like, okay, what do we got to do? Which is just a regular Wednesday type of an avayda. You just ignored it on the Wednesday, so now you're just doing it in Rosh Hashanah. It's a very deep B work, and that do should come from a place of, there was so much B which took place, that this do is just a reflection and a keli to concretize and to give stability and a kiyum to all of the B work which took place in Rosh Hashanah, on Elul. Now let's identify what that should be. It could be different for everybody. I'm just putting it out there that very valid B work during Elul is what the Shofar represents, which is like a tza'aka to the Ribbono Shel Olam, which is saying, I fail all the time. I know that you want big things of me. I don't know if I'm capable of even doing that. I don't even know if I could do that. So you know what? Guide me. Guide me properly so that this, it's rishtzainus, it's deep rishtzainus of like, and again, having the Chassidish Sefer, which will be B work as a tool for B work.
He didn't suggest
that. He didn't say Chassidish, I'm sorry.
He's like, what are you talking about? He was opening up a Gemara. He's
right, whatever that sefer is. There should be grounds for that B work to take place.
We're good.
Yeah?
We're good.
Seth?
I had to silence them.
I have a bone to pick with something you said, but it's not for now.
Could I make a comment about Rebbe spoke about the Slichas shift differences. He said from a different, I think he said the Avayira thing. Do you ever hear that? The difference in Sfaradim and Ashkenazim, that the Ashkenazim are focusing on the preparing themselves to be a korban.
Ashkenazim, okay.
That's why it's to be 4 days before, right?
Right.
So it's a very Yiridic way of looking at Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Sfaradim are tapping into the day that Moshe went back up to Shemayim to get the second Luchos. Mm-hmm. It's the day of Rachamim, and Yimei Yirot Ratzon. It's a very Ava way of looking at it. So it comes from the world. I think Rebbe, I don't want to quote Rebbe, but I think Rebbe said that Sfaradim come from Ava, it's Ashkenazim come from Yira, I think. I don't want to say that for sure, but like, that's the change in the Slichas comes from that world of, are we in days of Ratzon, or are we really in days of Yira and Pachad, or Yira. So, but that was an interesting
very topic. Nice, yeah.
That's why the Sfaradim are dancing. If you've ever been to Sfaradim Slichas, it's worth going to.
Yeah.
The highlight of our year.
There's like a 9:30 I can go to.
It's amazing. There's one part of the calendar that is so every. It's always different, right? Some Pesach, it's one part. Yes, Ashkenazi, not all Ashkenazi. Slichas, it's like you got to be kidding me. Yes, the part of Slichas, it's like it's almost here. it's incredible how distinguishing the experience.
Yeah.
But I'm good with Josh.
Yeah.
I think we're good today. Well, he has a bone to pick, but we can do that later.
Let's build more time.
That's what a v'chart of v'chaim is. V'chart of v'chaim is that the fact that slichos for one person could be so sweet, yet for another person could be so bitter, is like, that's what a v'chart of v'chaim means. A Jew should walk away from Hashem Yom Kippur feeling that his life that he's living is the Yiddish life is the sweetest life. That as soon as Yom Kippur is over and he's looking at Sukkos and he sees like everything was going to be entailed about sitting in the Sukkah, There's more mitzvahs ma'isis on Sukkot than any other time of the year. And part of the reason why that is because we need the ma'isim to concretize Hashem Kippur. But again, Hashem told us what to do on Sukkot. He gave us the ma'isim to concretize Hashem Kippur. I wouldn't have picked that if he wouldn't have told me that. I would pick something totally different. But Hashem says, you know, it's min ha'shamayim. The person has a siyata d'shamayim that if he's very serious, Hashem gives him the kelim and he gives him the siyata d'shamayim to know what he needs to do l'ma'isa to make stable everything that he did until now. All the ritzainis and all the machshavas and all the diburim toivim. Hashem Kippur, there's very little ma'isa which goes on. Very little. Everything is dibur. Machshava, machshava, shava. Ritzainis, ritzainis, ritzainis. Then comes Sukkot, and then you're just filled with ma'isa. The ground, everything. All the machshava, dibur, which took place by Hashem Kippur.
It almost reminds you of the parallel between, let's say, they look at a Rebbe who lights Hanukkah candles. So you can be sitting and preparing in his mind for a day. I mean, you can be sitting and doing kavanas. The mice is going to take a minute.
Well, it's always Rebbe, you know, he said, sort of just stroll in and do it, because like his hana has been going on for...
I remember sort of Leve Eger with the bris milah. Uh-huh. Spent the whole day preparing for it. Right before Shki, he did the milah.
Right.
The whole thing is the hachana.
That's what I'm saying. It's almost like Elul is the hachana. It's almost like the Shem Yichud Kuchurichi of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur.
Right.
Like, the work is really in the preparation beforehand. The mental... preparations.
Okay. And we should use whatever tools we have, whether it's a Musa Sefer, a Chassidish Sefer.
It's Kedushas Levi.
It's Kedushas Levi.
That's Barely Chassidish. I would think that Kedushas Levi is
Chassidish. I underline a lot, so it's not totally situated.
I think Kedushas Levi qualifies as a bona fide Chassidish Sefer.
Right. It's a tool for Ubacharta B'chai. The person should step up on Rosh Hashanah and he should say sincerely to the Baruch Shalom when the shofar is sounding, he should say, I'm choosing Chaim this year. I'm choosing to eat from Eitz Chaim. And a simin to a person that we said last week that the Baal Shem Tov said in the name of the Ramban. He says a simin to a person's Erlichkeit and Ernstkeit in terms of his Avodas Hashem is that when he does mitzvahs and he finishes, does he feel more avanir? Does he feel more avanir? A person should walk away after a Shon Yom Kippur and Sukkot feeling that he has more avanir than he had from before, then he's good. That he should look forward to Chanukah. He should look forward to tomorrow's Shacharis. That Shachar is not something I'm trying to escape. Not something that's, you know, the learning is not something which I feel I have to learn like begrudgingly. If a person feels about the Yom Yom of life, which is the Shachar's Minchamar and the Star Melimud and the giving of the Tzedakah, so whatever it is in his life, wherever he falls into the category of Torah Tefillah, Torah Avodah Gemilat Chasadim, again, we spoke about that at length going back a year ago during the Friday afternoon chaburas, which was like, every single person falls into Torah tefillin and gemilas chasad. You have a shayrish there. You need to have Torah tefillin and gemilas chasad in your life, no matter who you are. But you're gonna be rooted in one of these three things. That's gonna be your shayrish. Be honest with what that is, and then grab it and do it well, and then it'll spill over into Torah and tefillah as well. Whatever it is that a person, how he moves forward, but if a person walks away from Yom Kippur Sukkot feeling that now that I have to go back to regular life, that I look forward to Shacharis, to Mincha, to Ma'ariv, and that's called the Bachar T'Bachayim. That means you're Ben Olam Habo and Olam Hazeh. You're living in this world of Olam Hazeh, but your real life and your real Tanugim are Olam Haba Dika things, which is the Davening, which is the Chassadim, which is the Torah. That's the three Shpitz, Iker things which we can focus on. If we walk away with that, then that was a huge accomplishment. And we shouldn't have high expectations like cold mikvahs and other strange things which we've been taught to think, like Masil Shemes and Gavdom, as like real chassidus, like real madrigas. That's not madrigas. If you can be growing in this path on a daily basis, and you're not going to see the change and the growth from day to day. You're going to see it from month to month or from year to year, where your chakras is sweeter. And you wish you can eke out another 5 minutes in your learning Seder. And when you have to close the Sefer and go home, you're like, I wish I could have more time. But listen, I have to go home and I have to be metapa with chasadim and to take care of my family and do whatever it is. If you can be growing in that, which, if again, a person who's not in the world of pnimius thinks that that's kleinachkeit. That's not. That's real emesa growth. You're a ben aliyah. You're a ben aliyah and you understood b'char t'b'chaim if your Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is setting you on that path. Maskims? Shpizaychet, we're meaningful, b'chat b'chayim, the growth, and Hashem should help us. Hanoisim v'yam derech. That's what the Ari says. Elul is what's called Hanoisim v'yam derech. You know what I mean? You're in the ocean, and you're asking Hashem to take you out of the ocean. That's what it should be. We should feel like we're in the ocean. We're shouting to Hashem saying, make a path for me. Again, we don't know what that path is going to look like. We know generally what it looks like. It's called Torah Tzvi Lemetz Chassadim, but we don't know what the lemais that's going to be, what Kabbalah it's going to be. But if it's for this person, it's 2 hours before Shacharis, and for this person, it's benching from a bencher. Whatever it is, as long as it's something which Hashem shows us, which substantiates what He wants from us, which is to be a Ben Aliyah who knows how to grow from day to day in a way of Bachar to Bachayim. For this person, it's that avodah, it's that avodah, but Kol Hanacholim Hachim Alayam, Shabazaychet Gemach Sintiv, Xivach Sintiv.
Shut Sif Arbin, who's back.